It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. If you are a guest, welcome to First Baptist Church of Thibodaux. We're always excited to have guests, even if it's a difficult season, COVID-19 that is. But for those of you who are guests, welcome. For those of you who are members, we're always excited to have you, always excited to see you. Those of you online, we're also praying for you guys. I pray that you are well. I pray that you guys are spending time with the Lord, spending time in His Word. So with that said, we are systematically walking through the book of Matthew, and we are on the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. So go open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 66. Matthew 27, verses 57 through 66. When you've arrived to the text, say, Word, Word, can you please stand? We stand out of reverence to God's holy and righteous Word. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. And he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in a tomb, a new tomb, which he had cut in a rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, order that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to him, You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing a stone and setting a guard around it. Join me as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, God, for your people. We thank you that the burial of Jesus Christ is so important. I just pray that we glory in the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all of that. Be with our hearts, God. Allow us not to be distracted, but to focus on your word, to be focused on you. For those who are at home, I pray that they can be focused on you, Father, and speak to their hearts. The Spirit, we pray that you teach us what we do not know, make us what we are not, and give us what we do not have. And God's people say, Amen, amen. You may be seated. The title for today's sermon is The Burial of the King. The Burial of the King. Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States and author of the Declaration of Independence, was influenced by a principle called deism, which is a construct that envisioned a supreme king, a supreme being, as a sort of watchmaker who had created the world but no longer intervened with the people in the world. As if God created this world and God is stepping back and allowing the world to run without God being involved. With that, Thomas Jefferson also read the Bible on a consistent basis. He would read the Holy Scriptures. But one of the problems with Thomas Jefferson, as he would read the Word on a consistent basis, he will remove certain things from the Word. He only believed that Jesus was a moral person. So anything that was supernatural, Thomas Jefferson would not believe. He believed, for example, the authors of the four gospel were untrustworthy. They put stuff in there that wasn't true at all. And what he did was he created his own Bible. He took a penknife and he cut certain things from the Bible that he did not believe in, and he pasted certain things that he believed in, and he created his own Bible. And he named the Bible The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth. You see, as we think about Thomas Jefferson and the problem here, we notice that many people are doing the same thing. They're saying, we'll read the Bible, but there are certain things in the Bible we are not going to accept. For example, we will not accept that Jesus died on the cross. We will not accept the supernatural. We will not accept that Jesus was buried. We will not accept that Jesus resurrected from the grave. But friends, this is the gospel. To not believe that Jesus was crucified, to not believe that Jesus was buried, to not believe that Jesus resurrected is to not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to believe in the supernatural and the miracles mentioned in Scripture. So Thomas Jefferson can say perhaps that he was a Christian. He can say perhaps that he believed the Bible, but he did not believe in the Bible that we have and the God that we serve. Friends, 1 Corinthians 15 talks specifically about why we ought to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Paul's definition of the gospel, he mentioned of Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, and Jesus' resurrection. And for perhaps some of us Christians, we tend to focus a lot on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death, and then straight to the resurrection, and we ignore the burial of the King. But I want you to understand this morning, coming closer and get this. There are many implications for us concerning the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning I want us to observe clearly how the authors of the Bible articulated the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are two things that I want you to see here at the burial of Jesus Christ. Number one, I want you to see the Father's providence in his son's burial. Notice how the Father is sovereign in his son's burial. And two, I want you to see the faith of the women disciples. The faith of the women disciples. Notice with me point number one. The Father's providence in his son's burial. Now, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned in all four Gospels. All four Gospels, we can find that the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned. But notice with me here, Matthew continues to share about the burial, but he helps us see how the Father is in control. The Father is in control. Notice with me in verse 57. In verse 57, it mentions that at evening, before the preparation, before the Sabbath, we notice something incredible happened. Notice, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. Now, this is before the Sabbath. The Sabbath was sundown on Friday and sunup on Saturday, right? And what we notice here is that right before the Sabbath, right before Jesus died, because Jesus died at 3:00, sundown on Friday, we notice that they came to Pilate. And who came to Pilate specifically? We notice the rich man came after Jesus died. But before then, we notice that the religious leaders went to Pilate and asked Pilate to do something incredible. Now see for yourself. I want you to see this. Because in the book of Deuteronomy, it says something incredible. It mentions here in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hung man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. So we understand that the religious leaders got this principle from the Lord, from the Word of God. And the religious leaders went to Pilate and asked that Jesus' body be removed from the cross because of this. It went against the Jewish law. But according to John, in John 19, verse 31, they went to Pilate and they asked for Jesus' body, and that was given to them. It was given to them. So Jesus' body is removed from the cross. But see for yourself here. See for yourself here. In John 19, verses 32 through 34. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came blood and water. This is very significant, saints. The religious leaders asked for Jesus to be removed. They went and they saw Jesus on the cross. He's already dead. The other soldiers, they broke their feet, but their legs, and then they came to Jesus to break his legs, but he was already dead. Now notice this. Notice this very carefully. That right there fulfills prophecy. Now, what do you mean, Kevin? What do you mean? Notice what John mentions in his gospel. John 19, verses 36 through 37. For these things took place that scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Now, John is quoting scripture. What scripture exactly is John quoting here? John is quoting Psalm 34, verse 20. And in Psalm 34, verse 20, it mentions, he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Now, Kevin, what is the point of all of this? What is the point of all of this? Do you know, in Exodus, when it mentions of the Passover lamb, the lamb that was sacrificed to take away the sins of the people, that not one bone was supposed to be broken? Notice for yourself, in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, it shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. Any of his bones. Now, who is Jesus? Jesus is on the cross. Jesus is dying. Jesus is our Passover lamb. Well, Kevin, how are you saying this? Why would you say this? Well, because of what 1 Corinthians says. The Apostle Paul says, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be in a new lump. As you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Do you see the significance here? That our great Savior is our Passover lamb, and scripture is being fulfilled over and over and over again at Jesus' crucifixion, at Jesus' burial, and at Jesus' resurrection. We see God's providence here. The burial of Jesus Christ is mentioned throughout all the Gospels. For example, 10 verses in the book of Matthew, 6 verses in the book of Mark, 6 verses in the Gospel of Luke, and 5 verses in the Gospel of John. So what is the significance of the burial of Jesus Christ? I'm glad you're asking this question. What is the importance for us? Why is it so important? Number one, Jesus' burial proves that he was really dead. He was really dead. Because we know after the burial comes the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no life. So Jesus needed to be dead. And here, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ is confirming that he is dead. See for yourself. How the text here is supporting the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ. One, it tells us this. His body was given to Joseph of Arimathea. All four Gospels talk about this man, Joseph of Arimathea. And they all give us a lot of details about Joseph of Arimathea. For example, Mark mentioned that he was a prominent member of the council, which was the Sanhedrin. This man was a Pharisee, just like Nicodemus. John mentioned that he was a secret disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he was fearful of the Jews, that's why he was a secret disciple. Luke refers to him as a good and righteous man. And Matthew mentioned that he was a wealthy man. He was wealthy. So where was Joseph of Arimathea when they were basically persecuting Jesus? when Caiaphas and all of them were doing these things to Jesus, where was Joseph of Arimathea? Well, Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 51 tells us something incredible about Joseph of Arimathea. It mentions, now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council of good and righteous men who had not consented to their decision and action. That's the Sanhedrin. That's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man is like Anna and Simon mentioned, Simeon mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. He was waiting on the kingdom of God. This man was a righteous man, a man who was in love with God. And he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Friends, what I love about this is Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked Pilate to take Jesus' body and give to him. Then he placed Jesus' body in a tomb. John's gospel tells us it wasn't just Joseph of Arimathea, but Nicodemus was with him as well. The two Pharisees are together caring for our Lord. But notice as well the evidence that we have to support the burial of Jesus Christ, that Jesus actually died. Joseph of Arimathea took his body and placed him in a tomb. And notice this, his body was prepared for burial and placed in a new tomb that was then sealed with a large stone. He's dead. This is evidence upon evidence that Jesus Christ died. Why is that so important? Because Muslims and many other people believe that Jesus did not die on the cross. For some reason, he was rescued by his disciples, and then the Muslims believe he went and started teaching the doctrine of Islam to the people. But here we notice that Jesus died. He died. Here's the third evidence for us. They place a guard to protect the tomb. Do you notice in your own Bible? See for yourself. The next day, in verse 62, the next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how this impostor said, 'While he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell people he is risen from the dead." They place a guard before the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's dead. He died. The burial of Jesus proved that he was really dead. Come in closer and get this. Come in closer and get this. The burial of our Lord Jesus assures us that Jesus really died and that his resurrection was a true resurrection. Jesus really died, and that his resurrection was a true resurrection. Notice with me the second reason, the second thing I need you to see, why Jesus' burial was very important. Jesus' burial fulfilled Scripture. It fulfilled Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, upon Scripture, pointed to Jesus' burial. A perfect example of this is the Gospel of John in chapter 19. He refers to four other verses that says that was fulfilled at the time of Jesus' burial. Four verses. For example, notice with me very carefully. At the crucifixion, he mentions in Psalm 22, verse 18, he quoted that very verse in verse 24 of John 19. Psalm 69, verse 21, he quoted that verse in chapter 19, verse 28. Exodus chapter 12, verse 46. And other texts he mentioned in John 19, verse 36. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. John quoted that very verse in chapter 19, verse 37. And here, when Matthew mentions Joseph of Arimathea, Matthew has in mind Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9. Now, saints, come in closer and don't miss this. Jesus' burial fulfills Old Testament scripture. And here Matthew is talking about Joseph of Arimathea, but in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9, Matthew is helping us see how that verse is fulfilled here. What does Isaiah 53, 9 mentions? This is what it states. They made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. The word rich here is what many scholars are thinking that Matthew is thinking here. Joseph of Arimathea, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Matthew is quoting scripture here when he mentions Joseph of Arimathea. Do you see the providence of the Father in his son's burial? Nothing happened by chance. God was sovereign over it all. And third, and most importantly, Jesus' burial has theological significance. What do you mean, Kevin? Let's think about the concept of grave, the tomb in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the concept of the grave was something very dreaded. It was misery for them. You would talk about the grave and there's immediate sadness. For example, I want you to see this in Genesis chapter 37, verse 35. In mourning, I will go down to the grave. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 6, he mentions the cords of the grave coiled around me. In other passages of scripture, the word grave is translated as Sheol, which is most often used to describe hell. In Psalm 16, verse 3, the anguish of the grave. Job chapter 10, verse 21, he calls it the land of gloom and deep shadow. Do you get the picture? The grave and tomb was a very difficult concept for the people in the Old Testament. So, coming closer and get this. To say that Jesus not only died, but was buried in the grave, means that he descended as low as he could go in order to raise us up in heaven. Raise us up in heaven. For us, when we think of the grave now, because of Jesus being buried and resurrected, we have great hope. Death doesn't have victory over us. So when this body is dead and buried, we understand that we will be reunited with Jesus. That's why Paul says, for me to die is gain. It's great gain. But not only that, see the theological significance of the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me very carefully. The epistles, they all speak of the Christian life in a sense of we are buried with Christ. Over and over and over again, it mentions that we are buried with Christ. For example, in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, pay close attention to this. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You know what the Apostle Paul is saying? Coming closer, don't miss this. Burial takes it a step further than death. When you die, you stop living. But nevertheless, your body is still around. But once they put you in the grave, it's over. The body is not around at all. Here, the Apostle Paul is saying to us something very, very important. We have died with Christ, and we are buried with Christ. So sin should not have dominion over you because of the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Should not. This is what the Apostle Paul wants us to see. To go back to sin, once you have been joined with Christ, is like digging up the dead body. So when we think about the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is theological significance. That our sins have been buried with Christ. Sin should not have dominion over us. And we thank Him for the burial. That's why we cannot skip the death of Jesus and straight into the resurrection. No, we must talk about the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is very important. I see something very important as well in this text. Do you notice the sisters? The text mentions specifically in verse 62, see, it's in your own Bibles. In verse 62, it talks about the next day, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate. They asked for his body in verse 68, and Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers, go and make it secure for yourself." So they went and made the tomb secure and sealing the stone and setting a guard. But specifically, observe with me in verse 55 and verse 56 as well. Verse 55 and 56. There are also women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And see as well in verse 61. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Why is that so significant? There is a great emphasis on the women of the Bible here. The women disciples. There's a great emphasis here. And I want you to get this and coming closer. Here's a great application here. We live in a world that says that Christianity is against women. But that's so far from the truth. Jesus' purpose is to set women free. That was his purpose. Notice the words of some of the greatest feminists around. Susan B. Anthony said, way back in the 19th century, "The worst enemy women have is in the pulpit." That's not true. Helen H. Gardner, in her book, Men, Women, and Gods, this is what she wrote. "This religion," she means Christianity, "and the Bible require of women everything and give her nothing. They ask her to support and her love and to repay her with contempt and oppression. Every injustice that has ever been fastened upon women in the Christian country has been authorized by the Bible and revetted and perpetuated by the pulpit." I'm here to tell you that this is a lie. At the crucifixion of Jesus, at the burial of Jesus, at the resurrection of Jesus, who was around? Women. You know why verses 55 and 57 is so important? All of Jesus' male disciples were gone. They left because of fear. Only one remained. It was John. And women, they showed great courage here. Great courage. Even after Peter went to the house of Caiaphas, he ran, but the women stayed because of great courage. We see the faith of the women disciples here. Friends, the Bible and Jesus is not oppressing women. The Bible in Jesus wants to set women free, to find their identity in Christ. But what those feminists are saying is this. They're saying, well, the role of women, right? We have a problem with the role. Women are not supposed to submit to their husbands, and women are not supposed to do this, and women are not supposed to do that. But saints, listen to me very carefully. The Bible helps us see how we ought to relate with one another. And here, we see something incredible. I love what John MacArthur mentions here. John MacArthur tells us that these women possess something incredible. It's called sympathetic loyalty. He said sympathetic loyalty is mostly found in godly women, more in godly women than godly men. It's the kind of loyalty that says, I will be with you even when there is danger. I will fight for you. I will love you. I will support you. This is the kind of love that we have here from these women who supported the Lord Jesus Christ when all of the male disciples left. Then they stayed because of great courage. I could imagine these women throughout church history, when the disciples are restored back with the Lord, every time they would share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would mention these women. I could see that these women were held in great esteem in the early church. Why? Because of their great faith. Not only do we see them at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 61, they were at the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also we will see that they will be at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who were they? Women. Women disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verses 4 through 6. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come, see the place where he lay. Saints, get this. God did not choose any of the disciples, but rather two women to be the priority witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amazing. As I was thinking about this, I thought of the women. What could they offer? Think about this. This is a male-dominated society. They couldn't go before Caiaphas and the council and say, stop persecuting Jesus. No one would listen to them. They didn't do that. They couldn't go to Pilate and say, stop persecuting my Lord. They didn't do that. They didn't go in front of the crowd and say, stop persecuting my Lord. They didn't do that. What did they do? They stood at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were at the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's recorded for us in the gospel of their great faith, their diligence, their devotion. And we too must take advantage of great opportunities like the women. So, when the feminists are saying and the world is saying that the Bible is opposing women, putting heavy burdens on women, Jesus doesn't care about women, oh saints, help them see from Scripture that he cares deeply. And some of his greatest disciples were women. Were women. So as we observe this passage of Scripture, as we take a look at the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see two things for sure. We see the providence of the Father. The providence of the Father. He was fully in control of the death of his Son. Scripture is being fulfilled over and over and over again. And then we also see the faith of women disciples at the cross, at the burial, and at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, how are you applying the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ? There is this great theological significance that since Jesus was buried, our sins are buried with him. It shouldn't have any dominance over us. It doesn't mean that you will not sin. It means that you are not a slave to sin. It died, it is buried, and we live for Jesus. This is the theological significance of the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another great theological significance, again, as I mentioned earlier, is the fact that we should not fear the grave. This is exactly Paul's point in 1 Corinthians 15. Death has no victory. The grave has no victory. Why? Because of the work of Jesus Christ. So that's why you can go to a funeral of a man or a woman who believe in Jesus Christ, and you know that this person right there who died will be buried, but you know this, they will no longer stay in the grave. At the resurrection, they will reunite with the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that. With that, turn to Jesus. Trust in His power and trust in His word. Let's pray. Father, Your word is so good. So good to us. So refreshing. And God, You are fulfilling Scripture over and over and over again in the life of our Savior, in the death of our Savior, in the burial of our Savior, in the crucifixion of our Savior. I pray that when we share the gospel, that we will share about the burial of Jesus. It's so tempting for us to just jump straight into the resurrection, which is so important. It is. But God, the burial of Christ is also important. Without the burial, there will be no resurrection. The burial proves that He died. He wasn't just taken off the cross, went and preached. He died. And a great miracle happened. Father, I just pray for our hearts. If You teach us, God, how to apply Scripture, how to live out Scripture, how to defend Scripture for Your glory, Father.